to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty.
Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Lauren Witzke, filling in for Stu today. I am in a surprise segment, and happy Thursday. So, we have a great show planned for you today. I'm sorry that you got stuck with me. Stu had an incident with his studio, and let's pray for Stu as he continues to try to repair the issues with his computers and audio cards. So a Russian virologist who helped develop that country's version of the COVID shots has been found dead in his apartment, strangled by an unknown intruder in the dead of night. According to police, it was a burglary gone wrong, but this is Russia. People die mysteriously there all the time. Last November, a Russian billionaire died in a helicopter crash, and General Vladimir Makarov suddenly committed suicide, quote unquote, after being relieved of his command in Ukraine. The former head of Moscow Aviation Institute died last year after falling down the stairs. It's a lot of mysterious deaths, but if these deaths really are intentional, what's the motivation? The creator of the Russia's version of the vaccine. There's a lot of ideas that are spinning around, and Erin Elizabeth joins us to discuss. She is the creator of the Dead Holistic Doctor series, and I would not want to talk to anybody else about this dead doctor more than Erin Elizabeth. Welcome, Erin. Thank you so much for joining us today. Okay, so this guy created Sputnik. It was Russia's version of the COVID vaccine. He's mysteriously found dead. I mean, if you created a vaccine, wouldn't you have tons of money in order to buy security, live in your gated community? And how likely is it that a burglar would come in and just murder you?
Yeah, it's so strange. And they said it was an argument over money, Lauren. So that's what really was confusing to me. And then they said that originally that Andrei Batakov lived. And then after that, they said, oh, well, he didn't live. He died. And they wouldn't give the name of the alleged culprit who they say killed Andrei Batakov, which is strange as well. They just gave like his first name and initial, and you know, they said the man. And most articles will just refer to him as the man. Of course, we only have so much to go on, but I found that rather odd that they, I know with the doctor series of these strange deaths, it was the same. It's just kind of always the same MO. And yeah, a lot of odd things. And you would think that he would have some security. And I understand even if he were a government employee, at least he wouldn't be in this apartment where someone was just able to break through the window or something. So, yes.
And have access. Yeah. So I have been reading about this Sputnik vaccine. So it wasn't, I don't believe it was mRNA. It was kind of like a derivative of RNA, mRNA. And they said that it had like 80% efficacy. But I mean, how many times have we heard that before? It's highly likely that somebody could have gotten hurt, be very angry. You know, and I think there are a lot of people here in the United States of America that probably shouldn't walk the streets alone due to their own safety, due to how angry people are about it. However, you know, you've investigated a lot of good doctors that have been killed or mysteriously been killed. Now, and you know, how likely is it that this was probably a murder over just an accident, you know, an argument over money? What do you think? Like a burglar just came in and said, hey, I know you have tons of money, but you know, we see this happening to good doctors all the time. Like Bing Liu, who was investigating the COVID sequence, who possibly stumbled upon the fact that there were snake venom peptides in it. But, you know, how likely is it that it would be more of a, not just a financial issue, but more of a moral issue, like an angry person coming, or it could have been a government cover up? What do you think?
If this were just a one-off, then I may say, you know, okay, maybe this is the case and it's a coincidence that he just happened to be the inventor of this vaccine that allegedly had a very high efficacy, as you said. But because we see this happen so often with the doctor you just mentioned, with this expert, a doctor, I mean, it's scientist, it's just, yeah, it's mind-blowing. We've seen other ones as well, including, and I should have his name handy, but the one that was working on vaccines who was killed in a tent with his two children as witnesses. They were just out camping. And so either in this case where they don't give the full name or the person named, just things don't seem to add up. I could say maybe if it were one, maybe if it were two, that could be a coincidence. But when we have so many like this, especially in, you know, recent years where you'll see these, where it's related to either COVID or the vaccine, it's difficult for me to say, oh, it's just another coincidence that somebody's going to murder a man over some money. It just doesn't seem likely. So,
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of government cover-ups, too. I wouldn't put it past our own CIA or the United States government having a hand in covering up for Big Pharma. Well, you know, Big Pharma is also like a cartel. So, of course, yes. Cartel killings. They operate like a cartel. They sell drugs like a cartel, just quote-unquote legally. So this is quite possible it could have been a cartel hit. You know, we have a lot of people that are dying mysteriously, dying suddenly. And, you know, people are starting to take notice, but people that know things are the ones that are most in danger. You know, I know Robert Malone, who claims to be the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, he's not kind of walking around just living in an apartment either, just because he knows that, hey, listen, like this mRNA vaccine ended up really hurting people, and there are probably people that want to hurt me as well. So, and I know like somebody like Dr. Anthony Fauci, would he want to walk the streets? And, like, you know, oh my gosh. So how likely do you think that this was an ordered hit by Big Pharma?
It definitely could be. Another similarity I see with so many of the other deaths over like the last 3, 4, even 5, 6 years that I've been covering this is they wouldn't give the full name, which has happened before, but they said the man who allegedly did it, they only give like the initials or whatever. Right. He also had other of these horrific, you know, these crimes that he did. So it was the same with a couple of the others. One holistic doctor was killed with a sword on a beach with his wife, who was I think she was a nurse anesthesiologist. So, the guy who allegedly did it had just gotten out of prison. And so the first thing he does is get out and go after a holistic, you know, this famous holistic doctor, right. You know, and try to kill him with a sword. And actually, I think he ended up killing the wife and the doc. In that case, the doctor did survive. But you wonder if they're pinning it on these guys who are just out of prison for something else. And why were they released with some of the crimes you hear in the first place? So it's almost like they're the fall guy. And so why, that's very curious to me. Like I would think the last thing they'd want to do, not that people aren't repeat offenders, but it's always something convenient like that. And so again, if it were one or two, but we see so many like this with the same set story, whether it's in the United States, or I think that one I mentioned was in maybe one of the Caribbean islands or Russia, that you have to wonder. It's a little too many coincidences for my taste.
Right. So interestingly enough, when I was on Crosstalk News last week, I interviewed an Oak Ridge survivor. So he was a prisoner at this mental health facility in Canada. It was like a maximum security prison, but they ran experiments on people. And what they were trying to do at Oak Ridge was create psychopaths. So they'd get them all hopped up on drugs, methamphetamine, LSD, keep them awake, but they were trying to create Manchurian candidates. So they were doing this back in the 1950s, this kind of experimentation on people. And they used those people. One of them went to go join the Israeli Defense Forces, killed a ton of people with no remorse. He ended up getting arrested because he ended up murdering somebody in the United States, and he's been in jail for a long time. But there are, you know, instances of people that go through these prisoner programs, ran experiments on, and then told, hey, go do this. And they do it with no empathy, no remorse, no care for human life at all, because they feel nothing because they've stripped all that from him. So it is possible.
I'd love to hear new ideas like that. Not that it's very sad, but that's a very good point you make, because if they're just released from prison, I was always wondering what's the motive? Even if they did do it, I couldn't understand, but that could be something that they just got out. They're in prison. There are other crimes. They were right. That's a great, that's a good theory. I think that would make a lot of sense. And if it would fill in a lot of the blanks I have for some of the doctors, because we couldn't figure it out. Same with another one that just got out of prison. We had a doctor, and I forget what she was specifically studying. Maybe it was infectious disease or something. And he knocked her off the side of the road in the island of Granada. He then killed her and buried her. So, and he just got out. So yeah, why do we have these criminals that would go after these specific targets, but they could, that's a good, distinct possibility.
Yeah, and they're, like you said, they didn't even give his full name. It's like they're nameless, just Manchurian candidates. And that is quite possible. Yeah. I mean, this isn't a conspiracy theory. Oak Ridge was doing that. That's what is what they were doing that in Canada. You can look it up. You can actually watch that on Crosstalk News last week. We had a survivor who ended up, he was driving his car. Oh, he stole a car. That's what happened. That's how he landed there. He was just a kid. And then he ended up in this mental health facility. And he was talking about the experiments. And I was just like, why? And he was like, because they are creating psychopaths that will do this kind of stuff. Like, it is a real government program. You know, and it, I mean, I'm sure they didn't shut it down. I'm sure they found it useful. And the powers that be that hate us, want to deceive us and want us dead, absolutely are still running these programs as well. Now, you were in a lawsuit with the Disinformation Dozen where they came for you all at once. Criminal. What they did to you, big tech. Is there any updates on your lawsuit that you are able to share as you're fighting big tech?
Yes. So I think it was just after the first of the year. Feels like it was yesterday, but in January, I think it was maybe a week or so into the new year. It was, there are, I believe there are 10 of us in total, including Bobby Kennedy, who has said he may run for president, which will be interesting to see if you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Joe, Dr. Mercola, the Ty and Charlene Bullinger, who I believe have been on your show. From, you know, so there's 10 of us, and many of us are from, not all the people in there are from the Disinformation Dozen, but there are several of us that were named, targeted, you know, the 12 of us I mean, it's even on CNN, not that I trust CNN, but it's on headline news. Even they have to admit that the White House pressured social media platforms to ban us. And just days ago, since you and I have probably talked last, the Elon Musk did retweet Matt, I always have trouble with his last name, Tevay, but I'm probably saying it wrong, who does the Twitter files. So the 12 of us were named in the Twitter files maybe 5 days ago. I don't think it's been quite a week yet. And then Musk did retweet that. And in there, it was talking about the Financial Times, the famous magazine, that one of the journalists there were writing Twitter. And now that these Twitter files are coming out and saying, hey, it was specifically about the 12 of us, but they're saying, hey, she said, haven't they broken some kind of, you know, terms of service, or don't they have enough violations? And basically, it was saying in this, they published the whole email, basically like, can't you take them down? I'll be back to you later tonight to steer you. Like, in other words, if you don't ban these 12, which I was ultimately banned permanently until I was resurrected by, you know, I was banned by the last regime and just brought back up a month and a half ago, you know, under the new regime of Twitter. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. And they were trying to just pressure Twitter, and the White House pressured Facebook and Instagram and YouTube to ban us, most of us permanently. So this lawsuit are some of the so-called Disinformation Dozen, and then others like Ben Swan and some others that have, you know, a big reach and following that are journalists. And it's an antitrust lawsuit. It's kind of the first of its kind because it's collusion. And that's why we're suing. We already have successfully, we thought it may be hard to serve, but we served the BBC, the Washington Post, Reuters, Associated Press, and all of these journalists, these corporations. It's not the individual.
Yeah, it was a conspiracy. It wasn't just like, I mean, they colluded together to talk about, like, to get you guys banned, because it was all at once, you know, the specific group. Now, you had mentioned RFK running for president. Is that happening? And who are you going to support between, say, DeSantis, Trump, and RFK? Who has your vote?
I guess it just depends. That's a really good question. I would say if Bobby Kennedy, being a personal friend of ours and a co-plaintiff, and I've interviewed him and known him for years, well, it would depend. I mean, of course, he hasn't come out officially on his stance on a few things, but that would be, I would love to see him. You know what I'd like to see? If he runs as a Democrat, which is kind of, you know, he's kind of fed up with his, and I shouldn't say that. He's been very open about calling out his own party. The Kennedys are traditionally Democrats, but I think the meaning of Democrat has changed. Years ago, I was one. I say I didn't leave my party. The party left me. I'm no longer a Democrat whatsoever. Right. But if he did run, it would be interesting to see him, if he could beat Biden because, and a lot of conservatives say they would vote for him, you know, just depending on a few other of his positions on things. But yeah, I suppose in the primary. So in the primary, that would be the most important. It would be great to see him. And also if he would be able to be up there in the debates and people could listen to him share the truth, you know, on Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates and all of that. So
push the window. Yep.
Right. Yes. And in Florida, I'd have to go register Democrat just to, because you know how in Florida, they do still make us in the primaries, I'd have to be registered as the particular party. So I suppose I would do that in if he were running and then switch political parties just for the primary. And I did that before because I was independent to vote for Ron Paul years ago and things like that. So
I'd love to see him run as a Democrat. I would absolutely love that. It would be fantastic because when he wins his primary, because everybody's going to vote for a Kennedy. He's an old school Kennedy. He gets the centrist vote. He gets the right wing vote. He gets, you know, some of the left wing vote. You know, we have some like hipsters that are anti-vaxxers too. So he'd actually be perfect kind of right. I'd absolutely say yes. And say he wins his primary and then it's him and Trump, like you're not going to really do that bad. Whoever wins, it's great because they're great. That'd be very cool.
I like exactly my thoughts. So yeah. So it's with the lawsuit, we'll see how that goes. Of course, it's slow going. But it will be interesting. And it's a matter of principle. I don't know that any of us expect us to see a dime, but it's a matter of principle that these, it's collusion like that, when they come together, it's, you know, you can't have these journalists conspiring to try to ban us, to silence us, the corporations or the that's why we sue the Washington Post and the BBC, because they're all part of this group. And it's unprecedented. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Sure.
Absolutely. And keep us posted on the lawsuit. Thank you for joining us today. We always love having you. And keep me posted on that presidential race, because I am keeping an eye on that. I'm really excited about that. That would make one heck of an election season. That would be amazing.
Sure would.
I would love to see that. I'd love to see him on the debate stage, not only just exposing Fauci, but also, you know, just pushing the window. He pushes other people, right?
Yes.
Forces other people to force the conversation about, you know, vaccination. And, you know, I don't know his policy on immigration or foreign policy, but I assume he probably has, you know, those old school JFK values, which were America first. So, all right, Aaron, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless you.
And you too. God bless. Thank you, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All this and more coming on the Stu Peters Show. So later today, we are going to be airing Shortage. So Shortage is a mini documentary. I thought it was very appropriate for us to air today, exposing the plan for global famine. Stay tuned.
While everybody around you seems to be getting dumber and dumber by the day, easily distracted by the bought and paid for media that is compensated to distract them, looking at all of the shiny objects and UFOs and China spy balloons, you could be getting smarter. You could be doing better. You could be busting through those distractions and performing at your cognitive best. Go to nootopia.com/stew. Again, nootopia.com/stew. Nootropics brain supplements, 100% legal, totally natural, 100% safe, non-addictive. They actually make you smarter, process information better, be more driven, be more creative, be more focused. Nootopia.com/stew. Again, nootopia.com/stew.
Are you getting sick all the time? The bioweapon boosted are breaking our immune systems. Chemtrails fill the skies. Don't fear the shedpocalypse. Destroy impurities. Protect your children with the future of air purification. Trustfiltersuck.com.
Watch how quickly our machine pulls out dust, shedding, quantum dots, mold, bacteria, viruses, anything that grandma might have brought over from Boosterville, California. We drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance.
Sleep easy with 24/7 protection. Get a unit for your home or the portable device to shield your kids at school. Use promo code STU for huge discounts. Filtersuck.com, your antidote against poison in the air.
Protect yourself from the psychopath lizard things that want to take your kids and touch them and groom them and molest them and traffic them. The psychopaths who want you to inject yourself with a deadly bioweapon, and then they want to incapacitate you by taking all of your food away by the food supply shortage, and then come for your money and your guns. Protect your money with gold and silver from Goldco. The imminent great financial reset that resets the electronic banking system to zero, it's going to happen. It's the only way that they can have ultimate control. But if you have gold and silver, guess what? You're set. Don't be a victim. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. Also, if you mention Stu Peters when you call Gold Co., $10,000, up to $10,000 in free silver with a qualified account. Call him today, 855-706-GOLD. More of the Stu Peters Show continues right now. A few months ago, we interviewed Israeli electrical engineer Dr. Shimon Yanovitz about signs of self-assembling nanostructures inside of these COVID-19 bioweapon injections being falsely referred to as safe and effective vaccines. Well, now Dr. Yanovitz says that upon further research, he's discovered even more contaminants and nanotech with inside the shots. He says he also has evidence that these materials can be transmitted to the unvaccinated via evaporation and condensation. He also has new findings related to vaccine hydrogel technology. We have a lot to cover, so we'll get right into it with Dr. Yanovitz, who joins us now. Sir, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. Nice to see you again. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, of course. So I think most importantly, let's talk about the way that this is transmitted to the unvaccinated, people like myself who have decided, no, we're not going to get this. You're saying inevitably that we are. Is that right?
Of course. Well, I think we've all known that people shed something. Everybody who's unjabbed has been feeling that. We couldn't pinpoint exactly what the mechanism is for this shedding. So now I think I know what it is.
And what is it?
Well, we have evidence from a scientific paper coming from Thailand. There was an incident there. A nurse dropped a vial. The vial dropped on the floor, snapped. The material from it spilled on the floor. They wiped it off and they put the paper towel or something in the dustbin. And then 15 people got infected with ocular erosion, that's eye damage, and burns to their skin and so on. So we know that the material is volatile and it evaporates and it burns skin and eyes. And that's the paper. Now, what I've been doing at my end on the microscope, I think last time, Sue, you asked me, I told you I was unwell. You asked me, did I get infected by just looking at this material? And I couldn't give you a good answer. Now I can. So it doesn't, transmit through the lenses of the microscope. But the fact that, I'm looking at the binoculars of the microscope and my head is so close to the sample, and I was not using a cover slip this time, so the sample was not covered. And then hours later, I get eye irritation, further suggests that this is volatile and the fumes are toxic.
So the fumes are toxic and it's a volatile chemical, of course, hydrogel technology, the use of pegylated lipid nanoparticles, which is a documented weapon of biowarfare. These things we know to be true. How is it going from me, a person who is vaccinated, to me, a person who's not? Once it's inside of their body, how is that happening?
Well, suppose one is jabbed and his body contains a volatile material. If one drinks alcohol, you can smell that out of them, right? Because it's volatile through their body. It evaporates. This thing too, presumably. So people exhaling on you who are jabbed are basically transferring some material that can condensate on you and start creating these new structures.
Wow. We do a lot of warning on this program about all of the dangers that the elites and the global, murderous cabal have set up for us. What about a possible solution to any of this? Do you have any idea how one would protect themselves against this kind of viral shedding?
Well, it's not viral shedding. It's just a chemical shedding, toxic shedding. And no, I don't. Besides the fact that one should isolate oneself from jabbed people as much as possible, and it's not always possible. So, I think, you know, people who are jabbed should be isolated, maybe. But that's not practical, is it?
Well, I don't know about that. Sure, why not?
You know, they wanted to isolate us, the unjabbed, because they said we are dangerous. So the fact is quite the opposite. The people who are jabbed are endangering the rest of us. I'm not, you know, there are could be other ways of spreading this thing, like aerosol sprayed from the skies. But I think that people who are jabbed are, in fact, endangering other people.
Yeah, this has always been the case. Dr. David Martin was on this program, one of the most viewed segments that this show has ever done, where he made the claim, people who have been injected, inoculated with this bioweapon have now become mini bioweapons factories. They are producing and emitting and transferring the toxicity of the chemicals that are involved with these shots. You're now confirming that. I want to ask you, since
I disagree slightly with all respect to Dr. David Martin, I don't see any evidence of people being a factory producing the spike protein or whatever it's called, the toxin. I see all evidence that the toxin is already present in the vials themselves and it is injected into people, and this is how it gets to their body.
Have you looked at blood under a microscope of both an unvaccinated and vaccinated person?
Yes.
And are you seeing the damaged blood in the unvaccinated people who have been exposed to the people who have been inoculated with this bioweapon?
I have looked at the blood of unjabbed people, my own, and I found that it is full of nanostructures, you know, the structures that self-assemble from the nanotechnology. I also did one very interesting session with Dr. Zandre Botha from South Africa. It was a Zoom, and at the time I didn't have the vial. She did. She put a tiny bit of the matter together with her own blood on the microscope slide, and voila, her red blood cells, as seen under the microscope, began to become very ill within a minute or two. Obviously, there was no mRNA translated into spike protein. It must have been directly from the vial.
Have you seen more of these nanostructures, these self-assembling anomalies appearing inside of the vials as you've been investigating?
It doesn't appear, they don't appear inside the vials, but once we take them out and we put them on the microscope slide, or I put them, we can see that self-assembly starts to happen. And all these nanostructures start growing. And my colleagues, Dr. David Nixon from Australia and Dr. Anna Mihalcia from the US, some colleagues from Australia, they've been testing unjabbed people. And I think the findings is that about 80 or 85% of the people who are unjabbed have these structures in their blood. So how did they get there?
The people responsible for this forthwith should be indicted, tried, and fried. There is just no question about it. Our government is killing us openly. Governments around the world are openly murdering millions and millions of people, self-assembling nanostructures inside of the bodies of those that chose not to be inoculated with this bioweapon. This is the most egregious kill-off that humanity has ever seen.
You've got to give them credit. They came up with, a very sophisticated and advanced technology. Such a technology that they have, in fact, conceived of years earlier. There's a document of Johns Hopkins University on how they want to develop what they call self-spreading vaccines.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter if you're jabbed or not. They want you inoculated in quotes. So they want these things in you, whether you chose to be jabbed or not, Stu.
Yeah. Do you think it's connected to the 5G towers by any chance, Dr. Yanovitz?
Absolutely. So what we found, again, people who have been on your show, my colleague Matt Taylor and Dr. David Nixon and I, we found that when we apply some electromagnetic radiation, even by using a simple smartphone, just having it in proximity to the microscope, we see the sample start being very, very active and much more volatile and active, and structures that maybe took 2 weeks or months to assemble, start assembling within 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 10 hours. So we have no doubt that electromagnetic radiation, and it could be 4G, 5G is more dangerous because it's a more directed weapon. It's, for the first time, they have the capability of sending very narrow beams with the 5G phased, active phased array antenna. This is the technological term. But 4G could do it also, and it promotes the self-assembly. And according to findings of Matt Taylor and David Nixon, there is also disassembly. So if they want to eliminate some evidence of things that developed in our body, apparently they can do that. So there is a assemble command, if you will, and disassemble or dissolve command as well. So they can take things out.
By moving away from those electromagnetic frequencies.
Yeah. Or just stopping the transmission or taking the beam away from you.
The way to stop the transmission altogether is by any means necessary, take down these 5G towers. Take them down immediately by any means necessary. This is the destruction, the flip of a switch. Who knows what they're capable of? They could nuke everybody who's been exposed to this thing. They can control your mind, your thoughts, your dreams, your memory, your actions. We have an entire military, by the way, that has been injected with this bioweapon. Imagine having that kind of control at your disposal. And the people who have it at their disposal are the most evil and vile demonic creatures to ever walk the face of the planet. For your research, we really appreciate it. Dr. Shimon Yanovitz, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Stu.
Branch Covidians have turned our cities into super shedder capitals. The jabbed have become self-spreading bioweapons, threatening the purebloods.
He pulled this clot out, but as he pulled it out, it became something that was the extent of the person's entire leg. It was almost like a wax, you know, mold of something.
The clot shot is ending careers, detonating bombs in the brains of pilots.
Dozens, maybe north of 100 commercial airline pilots have died within just a few days of being vaccinated. Dead.
But don't despair. There's an answer to protect you and your kids from the chimerically engineered symptoms. Forget the forever boosters. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from Dr. Zev Zelenko. One pill formula, taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons, RSV, and influenza B. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Lindell. And my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for all your support during these times of cancel culture. They've canceled our box stores, our shopping channels. Now they've even tried to debank me. And it's all because they want our voice canceled. Buying today also helps support Stu Peters' show, which is one of the best podcasts, best shows you're ever going to watch, because he speaks out like it is. He tells the news. What a concept. Well, today I'm going to pass the savings on to you. You get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99. And if you order today, I'm going to give you my book free. By the way, my book, this is the American dream. This is what it is. This is what we're all fighting for. This is what we're not going to give up on. We're not going to lose our freedoms. You use promo code STU. You guys, this is the best price in history because of your great support. Thank you all, and God bless.
Fire at a food processing plant. This is for Taylor Farms.
By the time I got here, the building was engulfed in flames.
We are on the precipice of a global food crisis. We haven't seen how bad this is going to get yet. I mean, everybody's talking about the cost of food. There's not going to be any food.
You did? Wait, when?
Not until we blew it up.
Oh my gosh, again, look at this, guys. Look at this video right now.
Problem, reaction, solution. In 2019, the World Health Organization, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum hosted a war game warning of a likely coronavirus pandemic that would plague the Earth. 2 months later, their predictions came true. This forewarning from the cabal of their intentions is not new. 7 years ago, the Center for Naval Analysis held a war game called Food Chain Reaction, which predicts a supply chain collapse beginning in 2020 and culminating in 2030, describing exactly what the world is now encountering. Which does make one wonder. Are they warning of a future that is their own creation? And what better person to manifest this war game than the man who funded it himself, the new climate czar, John Podesta. The following is a fictional news broadcast produced as part of the Food Chain Reaction Food Security Exercise in Washington, D.C. on November 9th, 2015.
Good evening. It's November 8th, 2020. And this is Dan Cronkite with your nightly news. With food prices rising around the world, tonight, a look at our increasingly vulnerable food system.
We've seen mounting challenges to governments, international organizations, and the private sector in providing access to affordable food. Pressure from a shrinking rural labor force, limited availability of new farmland, increased urbanization, social and political unrest, and climate change-induced risks have led to global food supply disruptions.
The stakes are clear. How will our leaders in government, business, and international aid react to this growing food security challenge? The world is looking to them for answers.
The infamous globalist Henry Kissinger once said, "Control oil, and you control nations. Control food, and you control people." Problem, reaction, solution.
I'm Clayton with Heaven's Harvest. We got a survival food company. We kind of got our finger on the market, you know what I mean? We see the trends, we see the ups and downs. We stay up to date on news, what's going on. You know, we feel the pulse of the country.
Tonight, Americans' gas price headaches are getting worse.
BlackRock CEO Larry Fink warning that people should be worrying more about soaring food prices than oil prices.
I mean, people are getting worried now, and they should be. You know what I mean? Like, you can walk to the grocery store and see what's going on the aisles. Like, our grocery store, it's no longer individual products on each shelf. They just take the product and spread it out.
What's up with this? Aisle after aisle of folding chairs? And look at this store, the shelves filled with giant plastic piggy banks.
Every single aisle has these piggy banks here.
Nope, it's not the latest craze. They're decoys.
It's a tactic many stores are using to fill empty shelves at a time when the nation's experiencing major shortages of pretty much everything.
You're seeing all the chicken places being burnt down and the processing plants being burnt down. It's just driving the cost up.
As devastating as this is for Deli Star and its employees, there's going to be an undoubted ripple effect that's going to make it even harder for the small town of Fayetteville and the families and businesses that live here.
It's going to get bad here pretty quick.
He's saying a Cessna 340 twin-engine plane was traveling from around a local airport. Witnesses reporting the plane had veered sharply and crashed onto the side of the General Mills cereal plant here off Industrial Park Boulevard.
How many of them have been set intentionally? You know, I mean, like, it's... At this point, it's like almost not a coincidence that there's this many catching on fire.
This is the second time in a week that something like this has happened. On April 14th, the plane crashed into the Gem State Processing in East Idaho. What's going on here? Well, the story gets weirder. Food processing plants all over the country seem to be catching fire.
January 11th, 2021, Fayetteville, Illinois. Firefighters respond to the Deli Star meat plant at 10 p.m. The 75,000 square foot facility with 100 employees was declared a total loss with no injuries reported. August 2nd, 2021, Hansville, Alabama. One of its 250 employees dialed 911 from a Tyson-owned River Valley Ingredients poultry plant at 12:35 p.m. 26 area fire departments responded in addition to the Alabama Department of Environmental Management. The ADEM cleared the site of any environmental impact. Total loss, no injuries. 21 days later, in Cobb County, Georgia, a fire raged at the Paddock Meat Production Company. At approximately 10:30, fire crews arrived and began aggressively fighting the fire. Crews continued to put out hotspots till the morning. The two-year-old building was severely damaged. No injuries. October 12, 2021, Caldwell, Idaho. Dairy Gold Milk Drying Plant. 300 employees. No injuries. Total loss. November 29th, 2021, Scott Township, Pennsylvania. Made Right Steak Company. No injuries. Total loss. December 13th, 2021, San Antonio, Texas. Wisconsin River Meat Plant. 55 employees. No injuries. Total loss. February 22nd, March 16th, March 24th, April 13th, Maricopa, 2022, Deferred Shearers Plant. Azure Standard Employees. 38 Shearers Foods. No injuries. Total loss.
Somebody has to be doing it on purpose. So I can't say that I don't believe in coincidences, but I don't believe in dozens, if not hundreds, of coincidences happening at the same time. One or two is possible, but hundreds is not a real thing.
While investigating these serial arsons, an employee of the River Valley Ingredients Plant of Hansville, Alabama, came forward on Facebook with a thinly veiled acknowledgement of foul play. So, we messaged her. And then asked if she would come on air to blow the whistle. She declined, indicating it was pointless, because the corporate lawyers made it known that nobody got hurt.
Recent fires at food processing plants across the U.S. have several people speculating online if something else is behind them. This tweet notes a, quote, odd coincidence that, quote, 18 U.S. food processing facilities burned down in the last 6 months.
My name is attorney Stephanie Lambert. I represent Ruth Moten in Moten versus Bookfar in Pennsylvania. And we have discovered some interesting data as a result of doing a deep dive in this case. Jim Savage, the voting machine warehouse supervisor, is one of the defendants that Ruth Moten sued. And when we were taking a look at some of the whistleblower audio and video, Jim Savage made an interesting statement.
I worked in a refinery shop too.
You did? Wait, when?
Up until we blew it up. I was there for the explosion.
So at that point, we took a look into Jim Savage's life. You know, he has a home in Costa Rica. The home and its value didn't, you know, match necessarily what his expected income would be.
The beach is called Unkia.
Unkia? If it's an empty lot, does it have an address? Or do they give you an address yet? How did they do that?
Thing in Costa Rica.
Jim Savage is very much involved as a Democrat. He was a Bernie Sanders delegate. Then he supported Hillary Clinton. You know, he's been at a number of the rallies and marches regarding the Supreme Court decision on abortion. We have him on tape talking about how he has the DA essentially owing him favors as a result of being his political buffer.
And the district attorney?
Mm-hmm. They owed me.
Why did they owe you?
Well, you know, before I did this, I did elections. And Jack, I was like Jack's progressive shield. He helped me up.
That's nice. He was your buffer?
I was his buffer.
Oh, you were his buffer.
He's no longer the voting machine warehouse supervisor. He's now in Washington, D.C.
Perhaps Mr. Savage has returned to the swamp to further the progress of food chain reaction. In 2020, John Podesta's supposedly fictitious war game became a reality. The game took the players from the year 2020 to 2030, and as it was projected, the decade brought two major food crises. Keep in mind, this war game was produced in 2015, and 7 years later, we are seeing it come to life perfectly, with prices approaching 400% of the long-term average, a raft of climate-related extreme weather events, and predictions of governments toppling in Pakistan and Ukraine.
More than 100 days into the war in Ukraine, the United Nations is warning yet again of a devastating global food crisis.
Go!
Pretty simple. They produce 30% of the world's urea between Russia, Ukraine, that region. So while it's in the state that it's in, they're not producing as much, exporting as much. You know, we import raws and we manufacture here. So you're importing raws, and you know 30% of the raw product in the world is coming out of one region, and all of a sudden it's on fire. That has a cause and effect. Urea is a main nitrogen that we use. It's a cheaper version of nitrogen in some amount, some volume, at some rate. There really isn't a crop that is produced that urea can't be used on. Move 30% of supply. Basic economics is supply, demand. Demand's consistent, supply's down, price's up.
With regard to food shortage, yes, we did talk about food shortages. And it's going to be real.
If you pump gas or pay a heating bill, you're already on the economic front lines of the showdown in Ukraine. Home heating oil up 56% in a year. Gasoline now averaging $3.51 nationally, up from $2.63 a year ago.
You have nine things coming to create a problem, and you're not really sure how many you have to fix to kind of correct the problem.
And other shocks have made the crisis worse.
We are in uncharted territory because not only do we have a food crisis with multiple causes, but also this is coming on top of an energy crisis.
An end to the sale of petrol and diesel cars by 2027. That's one of the radical suggestions from the Committee for Sydney if our city is to meet emission reduction goals. The think tank's wide-ranging proposals also cover your home and your workplace.
Control oil. And you control nations.
Yeah, that's a huge problem on everybody's bottom line. Your ships that are bringing materials over are diesel. The trucks that pull from the ports are diesel. There's probably a forklift or two at a port that are diesel.
You know, the farms, like the truck that brought the chemicals to the farm came on a diesel truck. The fertilizer that's coming out of the ground is being mined with diesel.
The water coming out of the ground is because of a diesel pump.
The tractors running up and down, it's all diesel. You know, when they pick the crop and get it out of the field, it's being delivered with a diesel truck.
Every time a load of beef moves from a farm to a feedlot, every time it moves from a feedlot to a meat packer, every piece of meat, every piece of vegetable, every piece of clothing, every consumable item on this planet moves with diesel.
I know we haven't seen the worst of it yet. And it's going to be beyond all food's expensive. It's going to be, we don't have food. The stuff we're eating today didn't come out of the ground yesterday. The stuff we're eating today came out of the ground back in the fall. Fuel prices were still cheap then. This fall is going to be bad.
According to their own documents, we are in stage one of four stages, culminating in total collapse by the year 2030. 7 years ago, United States Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle described food chain reaction and his involvement in the war game. He said, "It's much closer to the real world than you think. The people who play the game here are very committed and serious."
The simulation showed us that we really need to get ahead of the curve.
Over the last couple days, we've learned that alone we can't do it. But together, we have all the confidence that this is a problem that we can solve.
I think it's best we all start believing what they tell us.
And we both talked about how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But awareness of their plans isn't enough. We must also prepare.
There's a lot of people out there that aren't ready for this. It doesn't need to be a lifestyle change. You know, I mean, it's small steps. We wanted to put together a food that it did what it said it was going to do. You know what I mean? If you need a month's worth of food, here's a month's worth of food. And we wanted to put something together that was better. You know, we wanted to get rid of the drink mixes. I got rid of the rice. You know, a lot of places they'll sell you a bucket of food and put 10 pounds of rice in the bottom of it and charge a premium for it. You know, now you feel like you got a real heavy-duty bucket with a lot of food in it. You know, we just put, like, true meals in these buckets. On our site, we've got, you know, a way to store water. We've got a way to filter water in a bottle. And then we've got a way to filter, you know, multiple gallons of water. Our seed kit. You know, there's 39 different varieties of heirloom seeds in there. And again, you don't need to be a master gardener to plant these things. You know, I've got two younger daughters, and you didn't realize how much time we spent together in the garden picking tomatoes or picking corn or planting a seed. You know what I mean? Like, it shocked me how much those two were interested in digging a hole in the ground and putting a seed in it. It's insurance. It's survival insurance. But with a little bit of preparation, you can make sure your family's okay if something does happen. And the question I get all the time is, well, I can't grow. I can't plant a garden. You know, I don't have a green thumb. Look, God has done most of this work for us. If you put something in the ground, it may not be the biggest and best crop, but something will come up. Like, you'll get something to eat. You know, and it may take a few seasons before you figure it out and what you need to do, but if you get a seed in the ground, it will grow. Keep water on it, keep it in the sun, it will grow. You'll get something out of it. So it's important to know how to do this stuff before you need to know how to do it. I was always under the assumption I was gonna stand up here on top of this hill with my gun on my shoulder and take care of my family. And that's not the way it works. They say the lone wolf dies alone. Survival is about a community, the whole community taking care of each other. And if the time comes, we can all come together and pool our resources. I heard somebody say the other day that if you're always prepared, you never have to get ready.
The boosters are killing millions.
Had a vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapons sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning, America!
Temple, that's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.com. The Stu Peters Network is brought to you in part by DarkAgeDefense.com. One day we could be at war. Missile silos activated. Drone swarms blotting out the sun. Cyber attacks destroying the power grid. Don't wait until lights out to prepare for the day after. Dark Age Defense will arm you to protect your family. Food, water, power, survival. DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu has you covered. Don't wait. Visit DarkAgeDefense.com/Stu.
I'm offering a novel approach that could reduce the complications and even chances of getting infections.
Well, certainly I admired Dr. Zelenko's courage. He was always very honest. He was a hero as far as I'm concerned, and always admired him, appreciated everything he said and did, taking a stand for truth. And he was right. That's the bottom line.
I liked outpatient family medicine, preventive medicine, and trying to keep people away from destructive patterns of behavior over time, and this way prevent them from ending up in the hospital.
So that's where we give people hope and peace of mind, knowing that if you take the Zelenko Labs products on a daily basis, we're going to back it up with the Z-Care promise to connect you with a telehealth visit for free with a licensed physician in all 50 states.
You can take your own care into your own control, into your own hands.